Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Durrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. God resides outside our universe in the third heaven, also known as the spirit world. This dimension is eternal and has always existed, whereas the physical universe was created sometime in eternity past. Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Elijah, Elisha, Daniel, and Paul all had different crossover interactions with the spiritual dimension. Peter, James, and John watched in awe as the spirit world and the physical world met briefly and became one. John was later taken to heaven and shown many things which he described to the best of his ability. The spiritual dimension is a tangible universe that parallels our own physical existence. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm very happy to have you here today, those that are in the chapel and those that are watching us. I want to say something to my listeners on YouTube and on Vimeo, and those of you that go to the archives. When we make a message here, we preach a message on Sunday morning, we have it on our website, and it's called Live Webcast. We are live right now, and then afterwards, you can go in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, to next Saturday, and get the whole worship service, or actually the old service that we have here at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. Those of you that only go in on YouTube will miss the prayers. You will miss, I have special messages. Most Sundays I have a special message that I give before I get into my sermon. If you only go to our videos, you missed that, because we don't have the capacity right now to get these up. We get the video up, but that's it. So go to our website Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and simply look at the entire webcast, and you can get my special message and then the regular sermon so you don't miss anything. Thank you. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for being with us here today, to helping us, Lord. And I pray right now an anointing upon me. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the attack of my throat right now. I rebuke it. I'm not sick. I'm just fine. And I thank you, Father God, my voice is going to hold. I'm not going to have any problems. And I command any demonic force to be ripped out of here, sent to prison right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, that you will help me to present this message in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going through the book of Matthew, but we are stopping. That's a series, and I'm putting in a mini-series between. I want to talk to you about the spirit world, because the spirit world controls the physical world. In your outline, I said this. The majority of Christians view the spirit world as some kind of a ghost place where things are done magically. And if you have that viewpoint, you will not really understand that the spirit world is real, tangible. It is not a ghost area. The stand that I'm taking is this. I believe in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I believe that when it tells things that happen, they are true. In the seminaries, matter of fact, if you go on the internet today, they simply say, you know, the stories of the Bible are not true. They are fiction. And they are simply destroying us understanding the spirit world. Moses and the people did go through the Red Sea. things that we read about in the Bible, the manna and so on, it did happen. Jesus came to this earth. It did happen. Lazarus was raised from the dead. It did happen. The book of Acts did happen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we read the first four verses. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. The Apostle Paul had an experience on the road to Damascus. He was a Pharisee. He did not know about the Holy Spirit. He was simply moving mechanically in Judaism, had some people killed. He killed people himself. And he was struck by the power of God, was blinded, had to be led into the city of Damascus, received his sight on the third day, and he had an experience that simply showed him Jesus Christ is the Messiah, is real. Years later, God gave him this experience, where he was taken up into heaven. He says, I don't know why, but he explains, I was taken up into third heaven. And as far as Paul is concerned, this was a real event. If we now turn to Revelation chapter 4, we will have a description of the throne room. This is now the Apostle John. Picture this now. John never knew about electricity. They didn't know, they have no combustion engines, no airplanes. They basically had oil lamps, horsepower, camel powers, wind power. There was no motors, no powers to say. And you take this guy in there, and you're moving up into third heaven, which is technology-wise beyond what we can think. And now he's going to try to explain to us in his vocabulary what he sees. And we read this. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, it was a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He says, now he was in the spirit, that's in the Holy Spirit. John never tells us, if it like Paul, if his soul and spirit was transferred to heaven, or if his entire body was transferred to heaven. We do not know that. But he, as far as his soul and spirit is concerned, he came to heaven. And he saw a throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Behind me right now, we got some lights. This is a black curtain we have, but we have turned it into a different color today. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Well, in other words, if they were chairs or benches, we do not know, but there were seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceed lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass looking to crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And then he described the beast like a lion, and they had wings and so on. And in verse 9, and those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever, and cast a crown before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. This is not a ghost place. This now is the third heaven, which is located outside our universe. It's in the spirit world. But in the spirit world, they had tangible things like a throne. There were some type of equipment or beings around the throne. You had elders. You had crowns. They were worshiping. So the logical conclusion is that the objects seen by John were solid in the spirit world, as if they could be touched, and they were manufactured by someone. The spirit world is just as real as our physical world. Now, John describes people standing before the throne. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 7, and you pick it up in verse number 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Now this takes place prior to the feast, the marriage feast of the Lamb, the second return of Christ. So in other words, these are people who have died on earth. Their souls, and when I say soul and spirit, if you are born again, you have a soul and a spirit. They are together. The spirit is when you communicate with God, and the soul is your physical, spiritual body, if I can use that term. How does the soul look like? Go to a mirror, look in the mirror, and the physical body you see is a replica of the soul person inside of that body. Those people are in the chapel today did not bring their cars into the chapel. The cars are parked outside. In order to come to this place, they needed a car. They could have walked, but it would have taken a long time for them. By the time they came here, the service would be over, and so they needed a vehicle. You and I can only exist on earth if we have a physical body, a vehicle. We are not allowed by God to be walking around in our souls, with our souls. We have to have a vehicle. When the people now that I see sitting here leave this place, they're going to get into their vehicles and they're going to drive off. But the vehicle is not these people. You're seeing here today in front of your screen a person standing there. You see my vehicle, but inside of me is the real me. I am not talking to you with my physical brain, but with my soul brain and my spirit. That's the real me. That's the real you. These people now were standing. They had palm branches in their hands, holding it up. They were singing praises. They were worshiping the Lord. They were real. The spirit world is real. If you have an object in the spirit world, an object in the physical world, they glide through each other. But in the physical world, solid. In the spirit world, solid. Listen to Revelation 21 right now. Our universe is going to be dissolved. There's going to be a new universe, a new earth, and we read about that. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse number 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, I want you to understand this. We have now heaven, third heaven, which is outside our universe. It's in the spirit world. This earth is going to be gone, the universe, new universe, a new planet, and that is going to be in the spirit world. It's not going to be in our dimension. We are going to move to the spirit world. You are a spirit in a physical body. And when we leave this life, this earth, we will go with our spiritual souls and spirit into the spirit world, which is solid. The Bible says here, have you read it here, that the New Jerusalem, which is a city, a cube, that is 1,377 miles wide, sideways, and tall. That's a big one. That's going to be manufactured in the third heaven. Manufactured. It's going to be flown from the third heaven into the new universe, set down on a new planet. And if we read here in this chapter, it talks about, for example, in verse number 16, and the city lies four square, the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. We have a description now about rooms and so on. So what I want to understand now is, this is a solid city in the spirit world. You and I are going to walk through those gates. We're going to walk on the steps in there. It is not a ghost town. It's as real as our world here. And it's going to last forever. So let me go back to the outline here. We're going to go down to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 24. We're going to be talking about crossing over. Why is this important? that you understand this. It is important because our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down every imagination, taking every thought to captivity. In other words, if you understand the spirit world, when we pray, we can do great things through prayer with our spiritual weapons. And I'm going to show you here today how there's been a crossover continually from the spirit world into the physical world. After Adam and Eve sinned, God drew them out of the garden. And we read here from verse number 24, chapter 3. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. When Jesus gave this revelation, and this is written down by Adam, he had no technology. So he called it the flaming sword that turned every way. In other words, it could hit any place. It was almost like a sphere. You have 360 degrees, and it could shoot out flames anywhere. And that piece of equipment was set outside the garden to garden the tree of life, because God did not want the sinful people to eat of that fruit and live forever in their sinful bodies. Cherubims. Now, there's no explanation here to Adam who the cherubims are, but we know from other passages later on that the cherubim is a high-ranking angel that have access to the throne room of God, and they can go in and out there. They are powerful angels. For 1,600 years before the flood, these cherubims, the flaming sword, was there, and the people that lived after the flood could not get back in. And this shows us that we had a crossover from the spirit world. If we now turn to Exodus chapter 14, verse number 19. Now, the escape of the Israelites was supernatural to us, but it was a reality in the spirit world. Let me read to you from the outline here. The Israelite escape from the Red Sea was an operation that brought Jesus and angels into action. When I was at seminary, the professor told me this. It was only 3 feet deep when they crossed over. It was shallow water. So someone got up and said, "Professor," then we got another miracle, drowning the entire Egyptian army in 3 feet of water. He couldn't answer that. So God now, actually it's Jesus operating here, is going to move the Israelites from this side to the other side through the Red Sea. How did he do that? Well, if you pick it up here in verse number 19, we read this. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before them, their face, and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all night. I want you to see the miracle here now. We have the Egyptian army had come up, and suddenly now God put a pillar, a cloud of pillar, between them. To the Egyptians, it was black, it was pitch black. On the other side, it was like daylight. How was this done? Angels simply came in, and with their technology, they were able to create this It became a reality in the physical world, but it was from the spirit world. Verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Again, angels moving in, creating an extremely strong wind that simply drove the water back. So we got dry land. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. The waters were a wall unto them on the right hand, on the left. And the Egyptian pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire out of cloud, and he troubled the host of the Egyptians. Jesus, as a commander, was sitting above the event, looking through that pillar, and simply saw the army of Egypt halfway into the Red Sea. And what did Jesus do? He told his angels, and they took off the chariot wheels. In other words, angels went down and plucked off the wheels, and they drove heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. And then God told Moses, put your hand out, and the thing went back, the water went back and drowned the entire Egyptian army. I want you to see now here that angels came in. Jesus was there. They came in from the spirit world, but materialized in the physical world and was able to do things in the physical world. We call it supernatural because it is not in our realm. But ask an Egyptian, they're in hell right now, but if you ask them, did the wheels really come off? They say, yes, they did. Somebody tore the wheels off. We didn't have a chance. So let's move on right now to the next I want to go to is from Joshua chapter 10. That's Joshua, the 10th chapter. Now, the people that are in seminaries and they're in churches and so on, they simply saying, I am a hopeless case of I'm Stone Age because I believe the Bible. But that's all right. They're going to find out when they get on the other side. So Joshua chapter 10. I'm sure you read this, but I'm putting more together here right now. Joshua chapter 10, verse number 11. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, that's the enemy, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stone from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more with died with hailstones than they with the children of Israel slew with a sword. Again, we see now angels coming in from the spirit world. They have stones, it's called hailstones here, but they were big, whatever they were. And the angels simply aimed that at the enemy, squashed them, and killed them. A crossover. Now we turn to Exodus chapter 19. And this is a recording of what happened when Jesus came down to visit Moses. We pick it up in verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto your people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, Let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in sight of all people upon Mount Sinai. You shall set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourself that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mount shall be sure to be put to death. They shall not a hand touch it, but he shall be surely stoned or shot through, whether it be the beast of man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounded long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people. They washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders, lightnings, a thick cloud upon the mount, the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at neither part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended at the smoke of the furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. And Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Here we have now Jesus coming in from the spirit world, and he's giving now a demonstration to the people. He's not coming from the spirit world. The whole mountain is shaking. There's fire. There's smoke. This is a mixture now of the spirit world coming into the physical world, a crossover, and then Jesus is telling Moses and showing the people what he wants them to do. It was done spiritually, but physically. If we now move to Judges chapter 6, if you pick it up in verse number 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. When it says the angel of the Lord, that is also referring to as Jesus. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in his might, in your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And he said to him, O my Lord, wherever shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. You shall smite the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if now I found grace in your sight, then show me a sign that you talk to me. Now picture this. You are in a bad situation, and the enemy is around you. And Jesus comes and simply says, be good cheer. I'm going to use you to wipe out your enemies. And you says, well, that's nice. I need to see a sign. Verse 18. Depart not hence, I pray you, until I come unto you and bring forth my present and set it before you. And he said, I will tarry until you come again. Gideon went in, made ready a kid, unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, the flesh he put in the basket. He put the broth in a pot, and he brought out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of the God said to him, take the flesh, the unleavened cakes, lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. In other words, they got wet. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. This was written down by a man that didn't know about electricity. Now, we did not learn about lasers until 1947, when we had a crashed UFO that was examined, reverse engineering, and man discovered lasers. And lasers can be very strong. Matter of fact, right now, they use them in dentistry, they use them in surgery, they also use them for weapons. Here's a crossover now. Where did the angel Lord come from? He came from the spirit world. The staff that Gideon simply describes came from the spirit world. And it worked in the physical world. Another crossover. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. If you pick it up here in verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey to the wilderness, and came and sat down on a juniper tree. He requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Now here is a great prophet, Elijah. He had just come back from a miracle a day before. Fear comes in. He hears about Jezebel. Spirit of fear comes in. He melts, runs, says, I want to die. Verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water in its head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Now, Elijah didn't simply say, whoa, who are you? Who baked this cake and where did the water come from? He simply realized it was an angel there. He's going to eat it and lay down. That was it. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. That angel came down. He had with him some kind of food, some kind of flour from the spirit world. He baked the cake. It became supernatural, so to say, for Elijah. And if you think about, you eat a cake or a loaf of bread, and it lasts you 40 days and 40 nights when you're walking a long time. That was supernatural food. But it was a crossover. The angel came from the spirit world, intervened in the physical world, and it was real food, but from the spirit world. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. And this is about Elijah again. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah to heaven by whirlwind, and Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And then you read a story here where Elisha said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to stay with you. And then Elijah said, if you see me go, you will get double portion. But I want you to take you up now to verse number 11. And it came to pass, as they, Elijah and Elisha, still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. How would Elisha describe this? The thing, he knew about chariots and horses, and that's how he described it. But something came down, some kind of a craft came down from the spirit world. And it separated the two of them. And Elijah was beamed up into this craft and disappeared and was taken alive back into the spirit world. Now you talk to modern pastors today and scholars and theologians, and you tell them, you know, this really happened. They're going to say, no. That's just, you know, a fantasy. But what I've showed you today and now so far is crossover from the spirit world that are real. Elisha picked up the mantle or the overcoat that fell off Elijah when he was taken up. He took that, smote the waters, and he had supernatural power. Let's turn now to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, he was fighting, took counsel with the servant, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians have come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him, warned him, and saved himself not once, not twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He thought he had a spy. And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bed chamber. Again now, angels had come down. They were working. They took the words. They allowed Elisha to hear them. Whatever was spoken by the king of Syria, the prophet heard them. That's supernatural. We got a mixture now of supernatural and physical. So the king of Syria said, go and spy where he is, that I might send and fetch him. And he told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he the horses and chariots, great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, gone forth, behold, the host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do? We are cooked. And Elisha answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots and fire round about Elisha. Around us here today, matter of fact, in the chapel, where you that are watching, there are angels. Every one of us got angels. The moment you were conceived, angels, one or two or more, were assigned to you. Their job is to stay with you until the time for you to die. And the last job they have to do is to take your soul and spirit and bring it up into third heaven. And when they deposit you up there, they go back and then they're assigned to another human being that has been conceived. This is why you're alive today. Every one of us can simply say, well, I know I could have been killed in an accident. I was close, this or that. And somehow I survived. angels take a lot of blows that never get to us. 98% what the devil try to do with the demons, our angels are warding it off. They want us to pray, God wants us to pray, so they can give us 100%. Look at verse number 19 there. And Elisha said unto them, matter of fact, in verse 18, and when they came down to him, here come now the Syrian troops down, Elisha prayed and said to the Lord, smite this people, I pray you, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Again now, you and I speak, angels carried out as they are told by Jesus. And the rest of the story here is, the Syrian army, they got blinded. They still could see, but they were blinded. And they simply walked them into Samaria, which is the capital. They walked in there, thinking they were going. And then Elisha said, open their eyes, and they realized, hey, we're back to the middle of the Israelites. And the king of Israel said, shall I kill them? And Elisha said, no, feed them and send them home. And after that, there was peace in Israel. Let me tell you a story that this really can happen. It happens from God's side and from the enemy's side. I was going to go and make a visit. This is probably 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, to one of my elders here in our ministry, Thomas Burns. He lives in the city, Ybor City. I've been there many times. Many times. So I drove up. I was had my wife Ina with me. And as I come into the city, I didn't have any GPS, so I just had memorized where I was supposed to go. Suddenly, I was lost. I walked into a convenience store, and I said, here's the address I'm going to go to. How can I find that? And the guy said, well, turn right, you know. So I got back out, and I went home. There's a big bridge going over the river, the two rivers there. And suddenly, when I was in the middle of the bridge, my eyes were open. And I said, wow, I know where I'm at. I'm on my way back home. That's crazy. So I had to turn around and get back, and I found this place. But I was as blind as a bat. I was a demon simply messing with me. There are crossovers from the demonic world. There are crossovers from God's holy angels. Let's go down into Matthew 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Moses and Elijah came from the spirit world. They came down with their soul bodies. And they were real. Jesus' physical body was transferred into the spirit world, began to shine. And Peter and John and James realize Jesus is more than a man. He is God. And so right here we had a merger, or actually crossover, for the spirit world into the physical world. And it was real to the apostles. They were still in a physical world, but the spirit world came to them, and they could see, and they could hear. Let me go back to my outline now, just on the bottom here. I want to talk about the spiritual physical dimension. Now, I take the Bible literally, I told you that, and I believe every story is a true event, not just some allegory. When we examine the aforementioned stories, it is clear that the spirit dimension is just as real as the physical world. Now, you and I cannot cross into the spirit world. People in the occult, with the help of demons, would be able to do what they call astral projection. But their body is limp. Their soul is traveling. And I saw that in our church we had back in 1976-77, because I had a witch in the church to be discovered. And that witch, that woman, was able to simply travel, astral travel, into the bedroom of couples in our church. And as they were in their bedroom and having sexual activity as husband and wife, she would materialize in front of the bed and simply stand there and look at them and laugh at them. And our people would freak out. This did not happen to one couple. This happened to two or three couples. We finally caught her, and we threw her out, and we took dominion over it. But the spirit world is real. And it can be entered through demonic forces. You and I cannot enter the spirit world. But we can call on God, and we can have intervention from the spirit world. Let me give you this example to understand that. We have in our military in the United States called Air Forward Controllers. These are men that are highly trained, grilled training, and they are embedded with combat troops. The forward controller, he has weapons, but he's not using them, only in self-defense if they get run over. But his job is to simply watch the enemy and then calculate the coordinates. He has a radio. He then radios in to a command center, and he simply says, I want so many tons of bombs. I want rockets, I want this and that. Here are the coordinates. And then if he's close enough, he can paint it with a laser. And after he's called it in, depending how far away the airplanes are, suddenly there's a tremendous roar, and now comes fire, hell, and brimstone, and just decimate the enemy. The air forward controller does not have any power. His power is in communication. By communicating and requesting an intervention, the command center orders in aircraft, artillery, whatever they want to do, and they obliterate the enemy. You and I are air forward controllers. We have personal contact with heaven, third heaven. We can call in fire, airstrikes, anytime we need, if we have faith. But most of us do not use that because we don't have the faith. Let me close with Acts 8:39. And this has to do with Philip, the evangelist. He had finished preaching, baptized the eunuch. Verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Angels can transport you supernaturally. They come in from the spirit world, they get a hold of your body, and they transport you to some other place. I have experienced that. Years ago, very shortly, we were returning from an evangelistic outreach. We were six people in the car, my wife and I plus four other people. We were driving from up in the hills here, someplace. very foggy. We had to go through Stockton, go down to the Bay Area where the seminary was. And I remember coming out 9 o'clock, 9:30. We saw the fog, and we simply said, this is going to be a long night. So we prayed. We prayed for God to help us. And after that, I started driving very slow, because, you know, don't go fast. It was like heavy, thick fog. So as we were in the car, we were just sitting there talking. Suddenly the fog cleared, and we were in the Bay Area. We had been transported more than 100 miles, six of us. We didn't feel it, but all of us looked at each other and said, wow, we can see the time. We got transported. This is a miracle. Praise the Lord. Now, what I want you to do with this particular series here, and I'm going to close here today with this. I want you to be aware of that the spirit world is real. There are crossovers. God wants the Holy Spirit to work in your life. He wants to bring in angels in your life. He wants to do all kind of different things. I never forget this. My wife and another guy by the name of Overberg were out here in California while I was not with them. And they had gone to a concert, a Christian concert. And when they came out, and they were going to go in the car, go home, there were so many cars parked, and there was a car parked behind them. And Over said, we can't get out. They were trying to beat the crowd. Ina said, sure we can. And she prayed. And she said, Over, put your hands down here on the bumper. She put her hands on the bumper, and they just moved that car out of the way. And Over said, wow, you can move in the supernatural. But to do that, you got to have faith. I would suggest that you go home today. Read through this passage that I have pulled out. And then say, God, increase my faith. Help me to understand that the spirit world is real. That you are there. Angels are real. The Holy Spirit is real. And that you want to intervene in this land. 1983, I was in Finland. The Soviet Union was still in power. And I was about maybe 50, 60 miles from the Soviet border. And they had just got a new dictator over there by the name of Andropov. And Andropov had been the former KGB chief, and he had now become the dictator. And I got really upset in the meeting. I said, folks, those of you that believe, let's take out Andropov. Remember, there was a lot of communists in Finland at that time. And some of them looked scared, the people in the meeting. I said, let's stand. Those of you that want to help, stand. The rest of you sit. And I prayed this prayer. God, please save Andropov if that's possible. Give him the gift of repentance. But if he's not going to be saved, take him off. Andropov lived 2 years. And croaked. And that was the end of him. 2 years. Whatever we have over us here in the United States, we can pray to God to take out ungodly men and women that are not going to be there. Remember, you and I, for probably 4 or 5 years, we prayed for Ruth Bader Ginsburg to either be saved or removed. Remember that? Well, praise God. I'm sorry that she didn't get saved, but she got removed very quickly. So, exercise your gifts and your faith. Now, you watch when you're not saved and you say, wow, you know, how can I get in on this? Well, to get saved, what you do is you simply ask God to forgive your sins. You ask Lord to save you. You confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection you can be saved. And say, God, save me. Jesus, come in. When we finish here, the screen will change. You will hear Pastor Charles Terrell come in with you, just a voice, and say, my friend, he will lead you in this prayer of salvation and take you through the scriptures. You get saved today. If you do that, would you contact us? We'd like to rejoice with you. And to those of you that are saved, that are walking with the Lord, I pray that you will simply say, well, I need to look into this. I need to learn more about the spirit world. I want to be in on the action. And you can be a spiritual Christian, air forward controller, calling down fire left and right, and see the kingdom of God being expanded. You are the key. Have faith, and nothing will be impossible. We're going to ask Brother Thomas to come up and close in prayer now.
Father God, thank you for the word today, the Bible. It's going to remain through eternity, Lord, the word of God. And I'm reminded of the scripture that in John chapter 12, where he says, I came not to judge the world, but I came to save the world. There is one that judges. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. So we thank you, Father, for the Bible. It's a light to us believers and to the lost. And I plan to take it with me and to walk in it, to live in it, to take it with me into eternity, Lord. And I thank you for the Word of God that shows us so much. And I thank you for this teaching today about the supernatural and the two dimensions. We are blessed to know what is going on around us. There are many that are in the dark, but we are in the light. And I want to lift up to you also this time right now when the president is pardoning some of his friends and also some prisoners that should have never been in jail, Lord. And one of them was Congressman Steve Stockman, a political prisoner. And I lift up to you the political prisoners that are still suffering here in the United States and around the world. And I thank you, Father God, for their release, to bring them back to their families, Lord. And I pray for discernment for each believer across America and around the world as we are in this crazy time where deception is running rampant. And there is a move to enslave all of mankind. So I pray for this constitutional republic. There's going to be a resistance, that the devil's not going to get his way like he thinks he may. But there's going to be a resistance to it. And there's going to be a rising up, and the Christian is not going to lay down for it. I thank you for strength for all Christians and for pastors to rise to the occasion and not to be put back by fear. I thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and he has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the first part in the series,
the origin story of Jesus, and was entitled The Spiritual Dimension. God resides outside our universe in the third heaven, also known as the spirit world. This dimension is eternal and has always existed, whereas the physical universe was created sometime in eternity past. Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Elijah, Elisha, Daniel, and Paul all had different crossover interactions with the spiritual world. Peter, James, and John watched in awe as the spirit world and the physical world met briefly when Moses and Elijah spoke to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. John was later taken to heaven and described the physical things existing in God's throne room. He also saw the New Jerusalem coming from the third heaven and landing on the new earth in the new universe. One day Christians will live in this city and walk on its streets. The spiritual dimension is not a ghost place, but a tangible universe that parallels our own physical existence. We cannot cross over into the spirit world, but the angels can operate in our realm of existence. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1788. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.